Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, honorable members. Mr. Speaker, as I rise to make my contribution to the appropriation bill laid before this House 2005-2006, I am reminded of last year's budget presentation where there was overwhelming support for the presentations and measures as outlined by the Minister of Finance. And so, Mr. Speaker, we have come to another year, and the presentation of the Appropriation Bill 2005-2006 is no different, Mr. Speaker, for the measures as outlined by the Minister of Finance. On Tuesday evening, Mr. Speaker, in my mind, is truly a continuation of the path that he has set since 1997. And in this regard, Mr. Speaker, I commend the Minister of Finance on a presentation well delivered, well articulated, full of hope, and with the people of this country at the heart and nerve center of it. Mr. Speaker, as I commence my contribution to the debate by saying how much, Mr. Speaker, at this time, I really cherish not being in the shoes of members on the other side of the House. They each had, Mr. Speaker, over the course of the past 2 days to put personal feelings aside and do as their sponsors and supporters requested. Established convention is that as an opposition, they should criticize. Therefore, they had a time slot to fill, so they plotted to make it to the end of their presentations. It must have been difficult for them having to criticize something which you really can have no real difficulty with, Mr. Speaker. So I feel sorry for the task that the members of the opposition had to undertake. Mr. Speaker, one dabbled in economics, and we saw the result of that last evening. Another got confused with statistics and lost his way between estimates from 1 year to the next. Poor fellow, Mr. Speaker, he never found his way back. The member for Mykonos started on a good footing, but I suspect the yellow tie distracted him along the way. And Mr. Speaker, I anticipate the Leader of the Opposition a little later on. The opposition is truly lost, Mr. Speaker, not even realizing that this economy has in fact transformed. So I don't understand what transition it is that they are talking about. It is little wonder, therefore, Mr. Speaker, that they could not appreciate the heavy-centered focus on the services sector. The focus on investment in tourism is no accident, Mr. Speaker, but I don't think they appreciate what transformation has actually already taken place in this economy. And so they are still dabbling in things of yesteryear, when in fact this country has moved on, and today we see an economy that is heavily centered around the services sector. Mr. Speaker, there was no conviction in any of the criticisms leveled at this budget, both from within and outside this Honorable House over the last 2 days. Members took aim at an initiative here and tinkered there with what they said were oversights there. But generally, one got the impression that the sum total of what they are all saying is that it was a good budget. Because, Mr. Speaker, if it wasn't, then they really should have put forward alternatives for what they thought should have been the budget. But we did not hear any of that, Mr. Speaker. Instead, we heard criticisms being leveled against the Minister of Finance. We heard pessimistic views of our country's inability to rise to the occasion of meeting world-class standards. And they want to run this country, Mr. Speaker. They want to run this country. The budget this year was comprehensive, well-written, and truly relevant to our time. It had something for everybody. It administered no pain and brought much hope. Truly, Mr. Speaker, this budget allowed the country to exhale. The budget did not present a perfect platform for Sir John Compton to relaunch his political career. Mr. Speaker, in fact, in recent weeks I have been trying to develop an interest in the game of cricket. And in cricketing terms, I am aware that the third cricket test match, which is underway presently in Bridgetown, am I not correct? As we speak, this budget, Mr. Speaker, is in effect an unplayable yorker for Sir John Compton. He simply cannot score from it because the Minister of Finance gave him no room to play any shots, and that is the problem of the opposition today. The delivery by the Honorable Minister of Finance was on a good line and length and delivered with blistering pace. Speaking the language of cricket, my friends, Mr. Speaker, liken it to Michael Holding's now historic over to Jeff Boycott. Every issue that the public of St. Lucia wanted addressed was touched on and attended to in this budget. Every single sector was given a lease on life. The flow of job-creating opportunities was unending, and they spoke of unemployment, but I will get there a little later. For a moment, Mr. Speaker, as I listened to the presentation by the Minister of Finance on Tuesday evening, I thought I was attending a Caribbean Tourism Organization conference, and that the tourism development projects outlined by the Minister of Finance were not for St. Lucia only, but for the entire region, because he outlined in detail a plan of action for the tourism sector. Mr. Speaker, $1.8 billion in tourism projects will certainly change the socio-economic landscape of St. Lucia for all time. And the Minister of Finance outlined it clearly and indicated that this development was not just taking place in one area of the country, but that in the north, on the east coast, in the west, and in the south, that the tourism projects are integrating themselves into our society, thereby creating an environment for all St. Lucian citizens to have a stake in the tourism pie. Mr. Speaker, they will take St. Lucia to the next level of development. They will create meaningful employment opportunities for every single St. Lucian, both those resident in St. Lucia as well as those wishing to return home. The CSME is rather timely and could not have come at a better time. The creating of so many thousands of permanent sustainable jobs is the perfect antidote for any fallout that some might think the CSME and the free movement of people in the region might bring. Some 8 years ago, this St. Lucia Labour Party came to the people of St. Lucia and asked it for an opportunity to harness the collective talents and resources of our people and take this country to the next level. Today, with this budget coming at this time, I am confident that that dream of 1997 is being realized. I saw yesterday, Mr. Speaker, the flashing of our contract of faith and manifesto, but I want to send them back to that manifesto. And if they look carefully at that manifesto, they will realize that, in fact, this government is delivering on the promises that it made to the people of this country from 1997. So tell them, go and read it. In fact, Mr. Speaker, one of the members who was flashing it around yesterday herself is on the cover of one of those. So I'm sure that she is familiar with the contents of that contract of faith. Mr. Speaker, we have honed the skills, talents, and resources of our people, and we have put this country on a course for unprecedented growth and development. This budget touches the life of every single St. Lucian, upfront and personal. It attends to the needs of the poor the elderly, the sick, the youth, the worker, the employer, the investor, the returning national, and even the visitor. That's what this budget is doing, Mr. Speaker. No group has been left behind, even those who visit our shores. The budget, Mr. Speaker, was well written, as I indicated previously. It was in language that the average man and woman in St. Lucia can understand. Nobody in St. Lucia today is asking what the Minister of Finance said and what he meant, because every single initiative was carefully outlined and articulated with clarity and precision. But we're not surprised. That is the style of our leader, the Minister of Finance. Mr. Speaker, in his presentation, he carefully articulated and outlined six things which are necessary to provide the foundation to accelerate economic growth spoken to in the presentation. In summary, Mr. Speaker, he indicated that we must make good on the promise to reduce corporate tax rate by a further 2% to 30%, and he's done that. He said that he's undertaking investments essential for securing long-term prospects. I do not need to go over the list of projects, as it was well articulated by the Minister of Finance and the Minister with responsibility for tourism last evening. Mr. Speaker, he spoke at length about the preparations that we are making for World Cup. And I pause, Mr. Speaker, to remind this Honorable House that today St. Lucia is to be host to an international game, something for which we have received much acclaim, and we would not be host to an international game if there was not confidence in the ability of St. Lucia to host it. And so I wonder where the members of the opposition are when they continue to doubt our ability to host international cricket. Just recently, Dr. Ali Bacca was here and indicated himself that St. Lucia is well ahead of many other territories as it relates to preparedness for hosting of cricket 2007. So what is the cause for concern by the opposition? I am still at a loss. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister indicated the third and the sixth things that we needed to do was that we need to prepare our workers for the needs of a new economy. He articulated clearly the transformation from an agricultural to a service-based product, what we have been engaged in over the past 2 years, training of our people, developing agribusiness. When we heard the Minister of Agriculture this morning, he outlined and enunciated on the proposals that his ministry will implement to support the agriculture sector, which would filter down to the benefit of the tourism sector. So clearly, Mr. Speaker, we are seeing the plan unfolding and an economy building with one sector supporting the other. Facilitating the growth of sectors considered to be of strategic importance to this country. I just indicated agriculture. We heard the Minister of Transport and Communications and Works last evening, articulate clearly the plan for improved road development in this country. And it is necessary for us to do so, not only to provide proper access to St. Lucian citizens, but to allow us to facilitate the type of growth and development that is taking place. So we must rehabilitate the East Coast Road. We must ensure that there is no further deterioration of the West Coast Road, the completion of the Beaufort Superhighway Highway, the upgrading of the cul-de-sac to the Bardville, which I am very interested in and I will speak to a little later, the development of the northern area, the development of the area in and around the cricket stadium, the support to community infrastructure. Mr. Speaker, I can go on and on, articulated clearly over the last day and a half. Mr. Speaker, the area very dear to me, and which I have responsibility for, the Prime Minister articulated clearly that we must continue to improve our social services and provide social protection to persons in need. Hence the reason why he updated us on the national hospitals, the psychiatric hospital and the new national hospital. I don't need to go into them, Mr. Speaker, because the Minister of Health will articulate clearly on them. He spoke to universal health care. He spoke to the need for additional water infrastructure, the support for small enterprise development programs, the increase to pensioners to support those persons who have made a contribution to our society, the increase in public assistance, which this government is doing for a second time. We must remember that when we came into office in 1997, they received a mere $40. Today, Mr. Speaker, through this government's efforts, we are saying if you received $40 before, today we are saying we are giving you $85. And so you are seeing the improvements that are taking place. Incremental, but steady. Mr. Speaker, increase in allocation to homes for the elderly. Introduction of a textbook rental scheme to beef up the program of bursary support. A commitment which we made in what they call our contract of faith. So what are they saying, Mr. Speaker? He indicated that we must continue to improve the justice system and continue to seek to reduce levels of crime to facilitate the type of investment that he spoke to. Mr. Speaker, it is clear that we are in preparation mode, a mode which calls on all of us to be action-driven and result-oriented. The 2007 World Cup brings along with it tremendous opportunity, and in fact, Mr. Speaker, we have one chance to get it right. But I am confident that we will get it right, and St. Lucia will stand out as a world-class destination come 2007. Mr. Speaker, honorable members, every St. Lucian knows that what he or she has to do as of Monday. To take full advantage of the opportunities that have been made available in this budget for every sector of the economy, from the child to the elderly, spanning right across, from the north to the south, to the east to the west. I wish therefore to commend again the Minister of Finance for so setting forth this new charter for St. Lucia, a path of growth and development beyond the imagination of the new leadership of the United Workers' Party. They can and will never understand this. Old leadership, Mr. Speaker. New old. I'm not sure how to articulate that, Mr. Speaker. It's a strange phenomenon. They tell me brand new secondhand. I don't understand that. I was relieved over the course of the last 2 days to hear ordinary St. Lucians saying how essentially they had no difficulty with the budget. Indeed, the popular view and sentiment is that they welcome and embrace the package of incentives of measures outlined. Because, Mr. Speaker, the type of environment in which we live, and the Minister of Finance made it very clear that we live in an environment of tremendous challenges, where there is instability in the oil market, where we are dealing with uncertainties in the international territory, where there is no preferential treatment for small or large nations. And so he articulated that we are operating within that environment. But within that context, the measures as outlined and articulated are indeed reasonable, they are achievable, and, Mr. Speaker, they will be done. One aspect, nevertheless, for there to be some incoherent noises over the course of the next few days from the opposition and their agents, that they feel is their job, so they will do that. As I said, the new old leadership of the opposition party has to try new ancients. We're getting there, Mr. Speaker. We're going to get it right soon. New ancients. Leadership of the opposition party has to make its presence felt. At least they must try. But the novelty has worn off. Let me say so to them. Time is running out. And I suspect that, Mr. Speaker, they ideally would have wished for a budget with which they could have tackled. But they did not get that, Mr. Speaker, so they find themselves in some bit of a quandary. With energy rates going up across the region, including Barbados, St. Kitts and Antigua in recent weeks, I suspect they would have prepared an arsenal for a fight over an increase in the price of petroleum products here in St. Lucia. But the Minister of Finance failed to provide them with such a battle. The opposition would have been hoping to criticize the budget for not offering anything to the elderly. But again, that scenario was nullified because he took care of them. They could have wanted to say that this government has done nothing for school children in St. Lucia, but the new textbook revolving scheme puts them quiet, Mr. Speaker. The opposition was probably getting ready to march against increased taxes, but again, they will have to unlace those marching shoes, for there is no basis for that march. They were hoping to agitate and turn business communities against the government, but the Minister of Finance honored his promise to the business sector by reducing taxes and creating an enabling environment for businesses to flourish. The opposition and its agents were sharpening their political razors for blood, but instead they got what I earlier described as an unplayable delivery. They have lost their tongue. They are now, as Michael Jackson says, speechless. Speechless, Mr. Speaker, and so that's why you heard the rumblings yesterday. Somehow or the other, Mr. Speaker, I thought that they did better last year in articulating themselves, but this year they seem rather confused and just lost their way. For the first time in over 30 years, Sir John Compton is forced to think before he speaks. He has to choose his words carefully, and so far, nothing coherent has emanated from his lips pertaining to this budget presentation or even otherwise. Rather than inflict the hurt and pain that the opposition was hoping for, the Minister of Finance has set forth an economic development plan for St. Lucia that makes it suicidal for the opposition to speak out against that which is planned. This budget can therefore be described as a silencer for the United Workers Party and other supposed opposition forces. It has silenced them. They are speechless. They are confused, and that was very clear in their presentation. Mr. Speaker, without much fuss, without much fanfare, in fact, this budget as presented commits the opposition forces in this country to another 20 years of toil in the political wilderness. 20 years, Mr. Speaker, I'm being generous. But Mr. Speaker, I was thinking and I was calculating, you know what that means. If this budget committed them to another 20 years of toil, Mr. Speaker, if this budget truly committed them to another 20 years of toil, then the current leader of the United Workers Party would be 102. By that time, Mr. Speaker, by the time he's presented with any realistic chance of returning to office in St. Lucia. I had quite a laugh at that, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, sir. The Minister of Finance has made it difficult, if not impossible, for the detractors of this government to remain energized. They have lost their energy. He has silenced them all, including those in the media, and so they speak of other things. But I will come to that. Small wonder, therefore, that they are coming after yours truly, because they seem to have nothing to say about the budget. I am told, Mr. Speaker, that originally there was some plan to organize a 500-person demonstration outside the parliament to greet me yesterday. Apparently, they had the placards and the loudspeakers, but alas, there were no willing souls. They had planned to say that I am to resign, they say, for being proactive in introducing reforms at the National Conservation Authority. But instead, Mr. Speaker, I understand that they had no choice, they ended up paying somewhere between 7 and 10, I'm not sure I got the figure correct, 7 and 10 persons to march outside the House. That old, dirty, nasty style of politics, Mr. Speaker. But Mr. Speaker, I don't need to pay anybody to support me. My support in Castries Southeast is not on the basis of handouts and paying, Mr. Speaker. So I feel sorry for the opposition forces who tried to no avail to yesterday to get a 500 march, which was reduced to 7. Sorry for them, Mr. Speaker. Under the former United Workers' Party government, the truth is, Mr. Speaker, that the situation at the NCA would have never seen the light of day. It would have never seen the light of day. They would have drawn the line and swept the allegations under the carpet. Not so with this administration, not so with the government of the St. Lucia Labour Party. Charges and allegations were made, and I called for an inquiry. That was the appropriate action for any minister of government to take, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I've said it before, I am not the manager of the National Conservation Authority. I do not sit on the board of the National Conservation Authority. I do not run on a day-to-day basis the financial business of the National Conservation Authority. So if, as minister responsible, it is brought to my attention that something untoward or questionable may be taking place, I have a duty to investigate and to act accordingly. And that is precisely what I did, Mr. Speaker. According to the findings of the report, not all the charges were substantiated indeed. Most of them were proven to be without foundation. But there was reason nonetheless for me to act on some of the discoveries. And the best way I determined was for me to clean house at the NCA and start afresh. I have an obligation to this Honorable House, Mr. Speaker, and to the people of St. Lucia, to be open, to be fair-minded, and responsible in my utterances and in my actions. As a result of some of the specific findings that required action, I took decisions that I deemed necessary as minister. As many openly expressed, Mr. Speaker, I could have attempted to withhold the report from the public. But I have done no such thing. I have made it a public document, and I have even put it on the internet for international view and circulation. So it is there for anyone who wants to have a look at it, to peruse it, and to see for themselves what in fact transpired. Mr. Speaker, I have nothing to hide, or I have nothing to be ashamed of. I again challenge anyone, including the former chairman of the National Conservation Authority, to come forward with information to substantiate any act of impropriety or misconduct by myself as minister. I challenge them again. It is not surprising to me that there are those who may seek to tarnish my reputation and performance in pursuit of their selfish ambitions. But I wish, Mr. Speaker, to put such persons on notice that I will not allow anyone to cross the line beyond what is reasonable within this arena. Let it be known here and now that I will not hesitate to take appropriate action in defense of my character. Mr. Speaker, si mwen di san akwe yol, paske mwen vle yo bien kopon sa mwen ka di. Mr. Speaker, moun ka pale, yo ka pale, yo ka di sa yo vle. Me, mwen pa kay kouche ekspe kom si di mwen ka domi. Mr. Speaker, se gwa moun la di mwen, zandoli ka kachile bien ki les pie bwa pou yo moute. Se gwa moun la di mwen sa. Men so, Mr. Speaker, mwen ka di yo, kachile bien sa yo ka di. Yo di mwen, se gwa moun la, dat lame bel, kite yo navije. Lame bel, kite yo navije. Men mwen ka di yo, pon fokos yo, epi sa yo ka di. Paske, Mr. Speaker, mwen ka fe defos kawakte mwen. Paske moun pa sa kachile, ada seisa, that yo suggest di sa yo vle, le yo vle, et nou ne pou aksepte. So mwen ka di, Monsieur Speaker, pale zot, di sa zot predi, me le I vini pou defos kawakte mwen, mwen ka I dubout ek defos kawakte mwen. Mr. Speaker, my reputation and my character is important to me. I serve the people of the constituency of Castries Southeast and the people of St. Lucia. And I seek to do so with honesty and as a woman of integrity. And so I say to them, be careful. I entered public life to serve the people of St. Lucia in general and in particular. I have the pleasure of serving the residents of Castries Southeast. But at the same time, Mr. Speaker, I will not be deterred in my efforts to fulfill the mandate set by our leader and by the people of this country. As minister with responsibility for social transformation, I am responsible for setting forth policy guidelines for the departments under that portfolio. I am not directly involved in the day-to-day operations and management of finances of any department under my ministerial portfolio, as is any other minister. The NCA, though, is naturally a political football for some in this country because it employs and caters to the needs of poor, ordinary St. Lucians. And, Mr. Speaker, what I realize is that people do not like that. Since we created these mechanisms to touch the lives of ordinary people, poor people in this country, some people have a problem with it. But, Mr. Speaker, the people of this country can see for themselves, they are hearing for themselves, and I will continue to speak of the benefits of the STEP program to the lives of ordinary people, how it puts food on their table, how it ensures them sending their children to school. And I have no difficulty, Mr. Speaker, with defending the benefits that this program has brought to the lives of ordinary people around this country. But they don't like poor people, Mr. Speaker. I suspect that's the problem. Mr. Speaker, I am a politician, and I expect to be criticized and vilified. That's the nature of the arena that we operate in. But I draw the line when it comes to persons of all sorts of character bringing the name of innocent and decent residents of my constituency into disrepute. I draw the line there, Mr. Speaker. Talk your talk about me, but I will defend the people who have put me in office to represent them. Persons can attack Minister Rambali any day. That bothers me not, Mr. Speaker, because I am quite capable of standing for myself, and I will not be intimidated by anybody. But I say again, I draw the line there, Mr. Speaker, because there is a point beyond which we should not go. When innocent, hard-working residents of my constituency are portrayed and made to feel as criminals for breaking absolutely no law in this country, that cannot be right, Mr. Speaker. As long as I am a member of this honorable chamber, I will defend the rights of the citizens of Castries Southeast and the poor citizens around communities in St. Lucia to live and to work in this country. I will defend them. Mr. Speaker, if persons opposed to my being in Parliament and Cabinet, if they are persons who are opposed to my being in the Parliament and the Cabinet of this country, wish to carry this matter further, they are free to challenge me through the process that is guaranteed to bring results. The ballot box, Mr. Speaker. That's my view. In my press conference last weekend, I addressed the issues that were raised in the report of the investigator. I have taken decisive action. Action which not many in the opposition would have taken. You hear them talking, Mr. Speaker. I am and will be monitoring the progress of the National Conservation Authority under its interim leadership for the next 90 days and will do whatever is necessary to restore public confidence in the intent, the operations and the integrity of the National Conservation Authority. That is my solemn commitment to this Honorable House and to the public of St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, that is as far as the administrative aspect of this matter is concerned. Now, with respect to the politics of the matter and the clear political football that the opposition and my detractors are seeking to create, my response to them is simple. If any of them, anybody, for whatever reason, personal or otherwise, has any difficulty with my remaining a member of parliament or a minister of government, which, by the way, I serve as a minister of government at the pleasure of the prime minister, they are free to take it to the people of Castries Southeast for their determination. I say to those seeking to make political hay out of this issue, come to Bexar, come to Wavin Poisson, pass through Sarot, go to Bel Air, come up through Lakwa, go down to Cooley Town, let's go again, go to Soucy, go to Goodland, pass up that nice road into Apitol as a Minister of Communication and Works ensuring that we do it. Go to Tirochet, go to Forestier, come back, go to Mark, go and visit the residents there. Then go, Mr. Speaker, go to Fort Club, go to Formager, go to the people of my constituency, Mr. Speaker, and bring it on. Bring it on, Mr. Speaker. If that's what they want, let them come where it matters most. Bring it on, Mr. Speaker. Anybody who wants to challenge me, come down there. I am never afraid to face the people of Castries Southeast on any issue that impacts upon or affects their lives. If Sir John Compton or anyone else wants to see the back of Meni Sarambali, let them come and declare themselves as candidates in Castries Southeast. The ballot box shall decide. Mr. Speaker, the ballot box shall decide. Now, on this matter, Mr. Speaker, I've said enough. Bring it on in Castries Southeast. Bring it on, Mr. Speaker. At the right time, when the minister, the prime minister, who has the responsibility to decide, not them who talking about elections and who wants to take chair and who wants to pull job, that's not who will decide. They will not decide on who say they want job. When you seek to want to become the prime minister of this country, the people must want you to become prime minister. It's not you who making yourself prime minister. Understand clearly that we don't make ourselves prime minister. We don't just go after jobs. If the people want you, then they will have you. But you know what? You must win your seat. You must win your seat, and you must have nine supporting you, or else you ain't sitting in that chair there. Mr. Speaker, some will dream. Some will dream. So, Mr. Speaker, I have said what I need to say about this matter. I am grateful, therefore, to the Minister of Finance for the increase in the budgetary allocation to the Ministry of Social Transformation, Culture and Local Government. The past year was characterized by several accomplishments in the various visions of the ministry. Mr. Speaker, I will not go into very nitty-gritty detail as I did in the last budget, but to indicate the overall direction and philosophy of the ministry, the approach of the implementing agencies, the mechanism which we have implemented to allow the development of the social processes to work in this country. How are they working? And so, Mr. Speaker, it is important that we do not make the mistake of only perceiving the work and output of the social agencies under the Ministry of Social Transformation in strict physical terms. It must be noted that these interventions are process-driven, and secondly, that the interventions do not occur in isolation, but are part of a broader social development policy agenda. And so, Mr. Speaker, the thrust of my ministry during this year will be to embrace an agenda that seeks mechanisms of articulating the following themes: the theme of justice, equity, equality, sustainability, efficiency, and embracing a holistic approach aimed at building human and social capital. That is the nature in which we will operate. Hence the reason why, Mr. Speaker, at the Ministry of Social Transformation, we have developed a research unit which is being headed by very competent staff, and that unit, Mr. Speaker, will within the next few months facilitate the type of research information that we need to implement programs and activities at the community level, which will redound to the real benefit of people in communities. And so, Mr. Speaker, I wish to outline three strategic objectives to be attained through these various policies and programs. One, the provision of sustainable economic opportunities at both the macro and micro levels, but especially at the micro levels, Mr. Speaker, so that we can reach out to communities from the north to the south. Two, the empowerment of our people and our communities. And so, Mr. Speaker, we will continue to ensure that we include the concerns of marginalized people and the promotion of social integration, individual self-esteem, and seek to develop a real Tendusian cultural identity. I think, Mr. Speaker, of the just recently held National Seniors Games at the stadium in Beaufort, an activity which brought much life and excitement to the people of this country, where our seniors were engaged in holistic activity. That was a collaborated effort by the private sector, bringing into focus older persons, but also, Mr. Speaker, creating an environment for proper social recreation, creating an environment where we make all of our St. Lucian citizens feel a part of the society. Mr. Speaker, even the parliamentarians had an opportunity for good exercise at that activity. And Mr. Speaker, the Honorable Minister for Agriculture emerged the winner of that event. Mr. Speaker, so the question that we must consider is whether or not the Ministry of Social Transformation and its agencies have been successful in achieving its objectives, directions and targets through our work program. And so I want to indicate that through the work of the Poverty Reduction Fund and the BNTF, which you heard each Member of Parliament articulating the activities that are taking place in their constituencies, albeit some of them indicating concerns about projects to be commenced. But we are seeing, Mr. Speaker, that the work of these agencies have been significant in ensuring successful levels of providing basic infrastructure and services to our communities. The James Belgrave Fund, which is now in its fifth year of operation, Mr. Speaker, established by this government in 2000, has been successful in facilitating access to credit for hundreds of micro-enterprises in this country. Mr. Speaker, and so the BNTF and the PRF have, through collaboration with both the NSDC and NELPS, have facilitated skills training that is critical for the development of sustainable livelihoods and production capacity. The Poverty Reduction Fund, along with our other social agencies, through the Social Assistance Program, are reaching out to marginalized and vulnerable groups. And the Bell Fund is providing an avenue, an opportunity for social protection to young persons and groups. And so you are seeing that the agencies which fall under this ministry, it's spreading its tentacles, not only to all communities in this country, but also to all sectors of our society. The elderly, the youth, the children, the health sector, the education sector. And so, Mr. Speaker, that is the nature of work that is taking place. Mr. Speaker, the Poverty Reduction Fund and the Basic Needs Trust Fund continue to find ways and mechanisms of reaching out and embracing communities. But the fact is, Mr. Speaker, we can only do so to the extent that we are able to implement projects with the amount of funding that we have. Both the Basic Needs Trust Fund depends on support from the Caribbean Development Bank, and there are clear guidelines, measures, and procedures to be implemented as agreed with the Basic Needs Trust Fund. I heard members in this House articulating their concerns about the time in which the BNCF projects take to be implemented. I agree that we need to continue to work to find mechanisms to make it happen even better. But the truth is that we are operating under agreement with the CDB, and there are specific guidelines and procedures to be implemented. The Basic Needs Trust Fund, the Poverty Reduction Fund, just last year completed its agreement with the World Bank, where we were able to implement a number of projects under the World Bank funding arrangement. This year, the government of St. Lucia continues to provide direct support to the Poverty Reduction Fund. But an agency like the Poverty Reduction Fund, Mr. Speaker, depends very heavily on support from agencies like the European Union. And so, we will be happy to implement the projects in the constituencies as funds flow and become available. Mr. Speaker, just as I bring these agencies into some focus, I want to indicate to members in this Honorable House the type of mechanism that we are using to facilitate not only infrastructural development, but I want to remind members in this House of projects like the Riviera Meter Bridge, the Dafitek Community Center, the Morhouse Facility, Lab Republic Facilities, just to name a few, Mr. Speaker, the Denry Preschool. The method that was used was to empower people in communities to manage these projects themselves. And so their community did not only receive a project, they received training in terms of how to manage finances, in terms of how to manage projects. So there is an enrichment in the quality of the person that is taking place because of the type of system being implemented by these agencies. Mr. Speaker, the members of this House have articulated well the projects that they would like to see being implemented. And during the course of this year, I trust that both the BNCF and the PRF, along with the support of the Ministry, can find mechanisms to implement this project.
The Honourable Member has 15 minutes remaining to make her contribution.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I turn my attention now to the Cultural Development Foundation, which falls under my portfolio as well. Through the vision of this government and clear direction of the Cultural Development Foundation, the cultural sector in St. Lucia has experienced real growth and development of our people. The Cultural Development Foundation continues to fulfill its mandate as directed by the National Cultural Policy, which my predecessor, the Minister now for Health, ensured came into being so that we could seek to develop our cultural sector, ensuring, Mr. Speaker, that cultural activity here in St. Lucia goes well beyond the intrinsic artistic value. There is a revolution taking place in our cultural sector. On every turn, our artists, in all spheres of activity of the cultural sector, continue to strive for world-class excellence. They make us proud and continue to get better. I am reminded of the Royal St. Lucia Police Band, who just recently received an award from the Honorable Prime Minister for their outstanding performance. That is St. Lucian culture, Mrs. Speaker. I am reminded of the achievements of our musicians. I am reminded of our dancers, our singers, and the excellent quality of service that they are putting forward. It is interesting, Mr. Speaker, that they are in fact getting better and better. But that is by no accident. But the greater objective is now that of engendering strong character, self-worth, and collaborative efforts through the arts and culture in St. Lucia. This was perhaps best symbolized during the past year by the staging of the Roddy Walker play, The Banjo Man, and the launch of a new national arts festival earlier this year. Both these projects achieved two very important things for culture in St. Lucia. One, they provide a platform to showcase outstanding St. Lucian work. and two, they were the culmination of several intensive training programs and activities organized by the Cultural Development Foundation. Dance, drama, and visual arts were the areas focused on for training, targeting community groups, including teachers, Mr. Speaker, so that the approach to the development of our culture is holistic. We are seeking to do so through our schools, through our community groups, and through our already established artists. The advent of the National Arts Festival has created a platform for the explosion of talent across the sector. Mr. Speaker, the year ahead calls for deliberate focus in the cultural sector. Therefore, the thrust during this coming year will be on product development and artistic sensitization. The precious opportunities and challenges posed by the CSME, Cricket World Cup, and the remodeled Carey Festa demand that St. Lucia's cultural industry adopts this approach. It will be a testing period for our cultural industry in St. Lucia. A period when we will need to perfect the delicate balancing act between our cultural authenticity and our cultural marketability. So, Mr. Speaker, we have a challenge to find the right balance between maintaining our St. Lucianness, our cultural identity, but at the same time appreciating that we are now on the world stage and that we have to present a cultural product that is marketable, acceptable, and reachable to people, Mr. Speaker. We will need to find a happy medium between celebrating our St. Lucianness whilst remaining committed to integrating our cultural exchanges between territories. During this year, the Cultural Development Foundation will build on its already well-established national cultural events and program of activities. This government, Mr. Speaker, has recently expressed its commitment to recognizing our national heroes. We said so, and we have embarked on a process that will allow us to do so. We have agreed, Mr. Speaker, that the first major initiative is to facilitate the process of commissioning the first ever Emancipation Monument. That monument, Mr. Speaker, will seek to symbolize our history, our achievements, and to capture the spirit of our heroes. And so, Mr. Speaker, I am pleased that the Cabinet of Ministers has approved, and I will be in a position within the next few weeks, along with the Cultural Development Foundation and our established National Heroes Committee, to commission the work for the sculpting of this first ever Emancipation Monument. Mr. Speaker, I am excited about this project. The sculpture will be done by Mr. Ricky George, the winner of the national competition where his model emerged as the choice sculpture. That monument, Mr. Speaker, is intended to be the first of in a number of recognitions of our national heroes to capture truly the spirit of our heroes. The intention, though, is to get all St. Lucians involved in this process so that they can embrace the idea of recognizing heroes in our country. And so it will be the responsibility of the National Heroes Committee to facilitate the process, to make St. Lucians aware of what we are seeking to do, and to find mechanisms of getting them involved. Mr. Speaker, the CDF, which has now become known for organizational excellence, and I commend them for that, must now rise to an even greater challenge to play a lead role as we use culture as a valuable tool in helping to shape a new St. Lucian and in helping to ensure that we are always reminded of our St. Lucian self.
The Honourable Member has 5 minutes left to make a contribution.
20 minutes, 15. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move for the suspension of standing orders. Standing Order 32A to allow the Honorable Minister for Social Transformation an additional 30 minutes within which to complete her presentation to this House.
Honorable Members, the question is that Standing Order 32A be suspended to allow the Honorable Member an additional 30 minutes to make her contribution. I now put the question. As many are of that opinion, say aye.
Aye.
As many are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Leave is granted, Honorable.
Grateful, Mr. Speaker. Honorable Members, thank you. Mr. Speaker, as I was indicating, as I reflect on cultural St. Lucia, I am reminded of Jani's message and her impact even beyond her earthly existence. Mr. Speaker, I think of the genuine rejoicing of over Sesen's longevity. And so, Mr. Speaker, I say that there is truly a fresh little magic in cultural St. Lucia. We are determined to build on a solid foundation. And so, Mr. Speaker, I look forward to the continued work and impact of the Cultural Development Foundation within the next few years. I spoke earlier to the James Belgrave Fund, but just to indicate, Mr. Speaker, as a reminder for those who may have forgotten, that to date, some 350 loans have been approved from that fund. We expect during this year that an additional, excuse me, Mr. Speaker, we expect that during this year, an additional 75 new loans will be approved. This will be at the value of some $4.4 million. Mr. Speaker, we expect to disburse during this year at least 65 of these loans. These loans will go specifically to young St. Lucians who are interested in micro-enterprises. Mr. Speaker, under the James Belgrave Fund, the Youth Enterprise Development Fund has found its home, and we envisage that another 45 young entrepreneurs will be trained in St. Lucia under this project. This should result in the approval and disbursement of at least another 40 loans under this Youth Enterprise Development Project. This agency continues to make us proud. It continues to do well and continues to fulfill its mandate by reaching out and making a contribution specifically to the young people of St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, I referred to the Poverty Reduction Fund earlier, but I take a moment to go back, Mr. Speaker, to the presentation of the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance, and to speak to a project which is to be managed and implemented under the Poverty Reduction Fund during this year. It is a project for landslide risk reduction within the Castries Basin in particular. Mr. Speaker, this project is very important to the people of the Castries Basin. It is very important in particular to the people of Castries East, to the people of Castries North, to the people of Castries South as well, Mr. Speaker, but it will initially benefit significantly the people within the main Castries Basin. The intention, Mr. Speaker, is to reduce landslide risk by implementing a very innovative program of low-cost community-based slope drainage improvement. Mr. Speaker, what that will entail is guttering pipes, water tanks to individual households within a number of specific communities. The people to benefit are the residents of Tououge. Some 66 households are expected to benefit. The people of Pave and Parker's Hill, some 52 households are expected to benefit. The people of Bagatelle, the people of Mondidor, including Black Stars and Gabuland, some 100 households, Mr. Speaker, are expected to benefit from this program. In addition to that, the program will also reach out to a community in Beaufort, a community called Bruceville, where similar problems have been identified. And so, Mr. Speaker, during this year, the Poverty Reduction Fund will manage some EC $1.35 million to benefit at least 430 households. Ordinary people, Mr. Speaker. Ordinary people will benefit. And the government, what this government, Mr. Speaker, is doing, it is appreciating and understanding the plight of ordinary St. Lucians. That is what the opposition fails to appreciate. They cannot accept it. They don't like it because it guarantees that they will stay out of office, Mr. Speaker. So I can understand why they don't like it, Mr. Speaker. But this government came into office on a platform of saying that we would seek to benefit and touch the lives of ordinary poor people. And this project will benefit some 430 households in ordinary villages and communities, places that some of them don't even want to walk, Mr. Speaker. But places where we appreciate that ordinary St. Lucians live, and they too must be afforded a dignified quality of life, Mr. Speaker. It cannot be a quality of life for one set and not the other. So I have taken a pause to highlight the significance of this project. I did so, Mr. Speaker, because it goes to the nerve center of the work of my ministry. That is what we are seeking to do, to reach out to marginalized and vulnerable groups, persons who need the assistance of this government. This project is creative, it's innovative, it will work, it will benefit people, it will give them a quality of life, it will relieve them. Your kind is soulagement, Mr. Speaker. Your kind is soulagement. So let you aller la caillou. A glow pack I just a twin, n'importe manier. Your pack I need pair well, pourquoi that lani landslide, you can embête yo, Mr. Speaker. Et projet ça là, c'est commencement. L'autre projet comme ça, pour bail bénéfice, pour gens pays fait ici. Mr. Speaker, I speak just briefly to the relocation project, Mr. Speaker, this project again is seeking to touch the lives of ordinary people. When we came in 1997, these things were there already, Mr. Speaker, and so we inherited communities where there was unplanned settlement. So what this government is doing is seeking to redress some of these issues and creating reasonable alternatives so that St. Lucians can have a decent place for living. So I commend this project. I commend the work of the Ministry of Planning. But I pause to say to the Ministry of Planning, in particular, the PROUD program, which has tremendous benefits, Mr. Speaker, and which is working and affecting lives positively in Castries Southeast, but that work is not completed. And so I still want to remind the PROUD program that in the communities of Wavin Poisson, La Abbaye, Sarod, Bexor, they have not completed their work. There are footpaths that need to be done, there's drainage that needs to be done, and so I look forward to the PROUD program, not only assisting other communities, but coming to deal with projects that are already ongoing. And so this is just a reminder to the PROUD program. Mr. Speaker, I spoke earlier of the protection which I intend to provide and that I am providing to the residents of Castries Southeast. There appears to be those who do not believe that the people of Castries Southeast should work and lead dignified lives in this country, Mr. Speaker. There is some perception that there must be work for some and not work for others. But, Mr. Speaker, I am in politics and I stand in this house simply to serve the people of the Castries Southeast constituency. And I will continue to do just that until such time as they choose otherwise. So, Mr. Speaker, currently, in the constituency of Castries Southeast, there are several projects underway to improve the quality of life of our people. Ongoing projects, Mr. Speaker, just to name some of them, the Tuapito Road Project. Mr. Speaker, when you have a moment, take a drive down to Cul-de-sac, up through Bexor, go through Jaglo, and up the Tuapito Hill, Mr. Speaker. Your heart will do you well, Mr. Speaker, to see the transformation that is taking place in that community. And so I thank this government for delivering on a promise made to them. For years, Mr. Speaker, they were neglected by the former administration, and it took this government to say that that community needed to be brought into the mainstream of things. And so it will not only benefit the community of Tuapito, but the residents of the neighboring communities will benefit, and, Mr. Speaker, it will provide an alternative route for persons traveling on the Beaufort Highway who want to come into Castries or who want to avoid the traffic of the city center to go up through Tuapito, drive on the improved road network that is taking place in Tiroche and Forestier, Mr. Speaker, go through Babono, then go up through Groseillers. They can stop in Castries North, Mr. Speaker. And, Mr. Speaker, that is the type of benefit that that project is having to not only the residents of Tuapito, but the people of St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, I am pleased that finally the Forestier Main Road is underway. Mr. Speaker, moi j'ajoute un shy pressure, moi ça dit où? Pushy mais ça là, parce que il y a ni l'année that commence là quand mande pushy pour pushy mais yo. Et moi v'lais oui monsieur, premier ministre là, et ministre pour communication and work, pour faire assurer that Jodia, si vous allez au forestier, le travail n'est pas encore fini, M. Speaker. Mais vous avez un travail qui a pris un coup à ce là. That is what you call representation. And so that is why I invite them to come down to Castries Southeast. Mais M. Speaker, nous n'avons pas de problème. Moi, j'ai parlé by ministre communication and work. C'est comme là en Belé qui a souffert. Yo commencé en chimé là, M. Speaker, et yo pas encore fini. So, moi, je voulais faire ministre qui n'y a responsabilité pour changer la chimé ça là, mais oui, c'est fini. Yo souhaite dire la panie goudon pour mettre à sous chimé. Goudon, M. Speaker, c'est ça, il dit yo souhaite. Et colas, so, moi, quand je fais changer, je dis, that laisse bagaille ça là, oui, vais en cette liste. Mettez community belle premier à sous l'isla parce que c'est mon là qui a souffert. Mr. Speaker, et ça qui a des bénéfices aussi pour mon parlement en Slawe Kanawi, because he has constituents in that community, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I am pleased that there has been commencement of work on the Coolitown Road. Through the assistance of the BNTF, we have commenced work on that road. That is a special community to me, Mr. Speaker. That is a special community to me. And I have made a commitment to these people that we will complete their project. So, Monsieur Ministre, Communication and Works, my card is encore. Moi, j'en ai des communs. Moi, j'en ai des soulagements pour ces gens-là. Mais toi, va là pour qu'on finisse. So, moi, qu'a souhaité that ou qu'a nous anticipons en l'année pour finir chimé cela. Mr. Speaker, the much talked about East Coast Road. If you drive today on the East Coast Road, the leader of the opposition must drive there every day. The member of parliament for Castries North, the representative for Denry, for Labrie, all of them pass on that road, Mr. Speaker. Denry South, let me be specific, Denry South, and you can see the rapid deterioration that has taken place on the East Coast Road. So I am anxiously awaiting the commencement of the rehabilitation of that road, because it is not only an economic imperative, but it is necessary for a good quality of life for the good residents of Bexar, Wavinpaso, Ladey, and Sarot, and Odster, and Susi, Mr. Speaker, and Sandy Fay, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would like to see that road rehabilitated. But I have a further motive, which I want to share with you, Mr. Speaker. I have been speaking long about the sidewalk project for the Wavinpaso Bexar community. There are at least 6 schools along that main road, from the Badalil after the bridge to the Bexar Gap. Between there are 6 schools. There are 6 schools. There are daycare centers. There are 2 primary schools. There is an infant school. There are a number of daycare facilities. And these children, Mr. Speaker, hundreds of children are traversing that road on a morning and an afternoon. And so when I pray in the morning and in the evening, I say, Lord, please take care of the children on that road, because we have lost a few, 2 accidents, Mr. Speaker, and I would like to bring an end to that situation. I understand, though, that we cannot do that project until we complete the resurfacing works. So I ask for the patience of the residents so that we can get a sidewalk project. But I am saying to the Parliament today that I would like to see that sidewalk project commenced from the bridge at Wavin Paso all the way down to Bexar, and that we can recognize that even along this main highway that there is a community there, and persons who use that road can appreciate that people live on both sides of that highway, and so there must be necessary precaution taken in this area. Mr. Speaker, last year the Prime Minister announced a police station for the community of Bexar. I have been told that plans are underway to see some sort of a start towards that project. It is necessary, it is important, and I am looking forward to its commencement. Mr. Speaker, I won't even list the number of roads to be done, but I want the residents of Castries Southeast to know that I will continue to agitate, continue to dialogue, continue to plead to ensure that we can see some relief to the people of Sandy Fe, to Badeni, to the Sarod-Vana Road in particular, Mr. Speaker, the community of Susi, the community of Capitol Hill in Darfur. These are just some of the roads that are brought to my attention on a regular basis, and I would like to provide that type of quality representation so that the people can be truly relieved. Mr. Speaker, we continue our efforts at a number of small projects. And when you have some time, Mr. Speaker, I would like to take you on a tour of my constituency so that you can see the progress that we have made, the transformation that has taken place in access to basic services, water, electricity, bridges, infrastructure, but more so the progress that we have made in terms of building the capacity of our people. Mr. Speaker, sometimes I sit in this house and I hear a lot of negative talk about young people. Mr. Speaker, while there are concerns, Mr. Speaker, about young people, some sectors, the truth is the majority of young people in this country are productive, positive, hard-working citizens. They make us proud. Today, Mr. Speaker, I go around my constituency and I see youth clubs, choirs, drama clubs, games clubs, teams, soccer teams, drama groups, Mr. Speaker. We are known for the most outstanding drama group on the island, Chekapesh, Mr. Speaker. We are known for some of the best singers. We have a reputation for that in Castries Southeast. There is a choir of over some 55 young people, just full of energy and life and positive attitude. There are teams playing on every court and playing field you can find in the afternoon. So when they speak of all this negativity about young people, Mr. Speaker, I spend precious time, little time on that. I am thinking of the positive young people that are making a good contribution to this society. And I am saying that we must continue to find ways to support them. I am very proud of the Sports Council in Castries Southeast. In fact, there is a collaboration in Castries South and Castries Southeast of a Sports Council of young people, Mr. Speaker. Just 2 weeks ago, the Honorable John Odlum and myself attended an award ceremony where outstanding young athletes were recognized. And I discovered, Mr. Speaker, that we may be well known for some of the best athletes on the island. So, from Castries Southeast, positive vibes, positive young people, young representation, you name it, Mr. Speaker, young people are paving the way in that constituency, and we will continue to do so. Mr. Speaker, I trust that the farmers in the agricultural sector can benefit from the incentives that were enunciated by the Prime Minister and spoken to by the Minister of Agriculture. Lani Shai Farmer at the constituency, moi, Mr. Speaker. Lani Farmer ki te ka feza fe fig, e ka poeza yo pa ka fesa. So yo vle develope ko yo at a lot activity. So agri-business se yon bon plas pou yo, Mr. Speaker. So mwen ka di mam ministra ki ni responsabilite pou agriculture, pou fe asiwe. That se benefit sa la osi bien wive se farmers la en Castries Southeast. Just a few weeks ago, the Ministry of Gender Relations recognized two female farmers, outstanding women, one from the community of Crownland, Mrs. Dwakasin, and Miss Helena Clark from the community of Sarod, outstanding women farmers who are making a difference in their communities and who are benefiting from the agriculture sector, who are sending their children to school, building homes. And so, Mr. Speaker, there is hope in the agricultural sector. But agriculture is not only benefiting women and men, it's also benefiting vulnerable groups. If you go to MAF today, Mr. Speaker, the Blind Welfare Association has established a poultry product with poultry farm with the support of the Poverty Reduction Fund. And persons from the Blind Welfare Association are in fact managing that farm. So, Mr. Speaker, agriculture is benefiting every sector of the society. But, Mr. Minister, my constituency are filled with small farmers who truly need to benefit from the agricultural incentives that are being produced. Mr. Speaker, c'est mon la constituency, et puis moi, nous n'y a relation qui spéciale. Moi pas ni pour payer personne pour supporter moi. Moi pas qu'à faire ça, et moi pas ni besoin faire ça non plus, Monsieur Speaker. Si vous gardez bien au lieu, vous avez la mienne chaîne ici aujourd'hui, vous venez à sous volonté, Monsieur Speaker. And Mr. Speaker, if you visit the constituency of Castries Southeast, you will understand that we have a vision for our community. We know what we want. We know what we need. We have a spirit of collaboration. And Mr. Speaker, there is tangible evidence of the transformation that has taken place in that constituency. Those, Mr. Speaker, who talk behind microphones and cameras must come to Castries Southeast and see for themselves exactly what is going on. And so, Mr. Speaker, I say to them, if they want to take issue with me, they must face the people of that constituency. Mr. Speaker, in summary, this budget has painted pictures of what St. Lucia can and will become if we close ranks and work together. The Minister of Finance has spared no efforts in attending to the concerns and aspirations of our people. Cricket World Cup 2007 is real. It's happening. It's coming. It will be here. Large-scale development in tourism, they are real, Mr. Speaker. They are happening. The projects have commenced and are underway. Phenomenal job-creating opportunities for St. Lucians are real. A textbook revolving loan scheme for secondary school students are real, Mr. Speaker. An increase in allowances to special interest groups such as the elderly, the indigent, and the less fortunate, that's real, Mr. Speaker. Containment of energy prices in St. Lucia is real, Mr. Speaker. Setting up of an agency to ensure that we can fast-track the type of investment we want in St. Lucia is real, Mr. Speaker. Roads and community support, it is real, Mr. Speaker. Support for ordinary St. Lucian citizens is real. This budget, real. Mr. Speaker, the opposition on the other side of the House, they cannot like it because it's real, it's happening. They don't like it one bit, Mr. Speaker. But I understand. We on this side of the House, we understand where we're going, and I commend again the Minister of Finance on a well-thought-out and well-presented package of proposals. He has listened, and he has responded to the needs and concerns of citizens in this country in every sector and sphere of activity. Mr. Speaker, by doing this, he has put St. Lucia on a growth path that is likely to positively impact the life of every St. Lucian citizen. In his opening remarks, the Minister of Finance said, and I quote him, "It is an age that abounds with opportunities and challenges. It is for us as a nation to find and take our place within this new global reality." I am reminded of that, Mr. Speaker. And so, I wholeheartedly commend this budget to this Honorable House and ask for acceptance and easy passage by members across the board. Mr. Speaker, sir, may this please you. Thank you.